Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal and the Sacred Radio Show with your featured host, Shar McCain, a forensics counselor, psychic, writer, artist, modern-day Christian mystic, and UFO experiencer. Shar interviews guests who are experts on all aspects of the paranormal and the sacred. The Paranormal and the Sacred Radio Show has been featured on Blog Talk Radio as staff pick. And now for your host, Shar McCain.
Happy Friday evening, everybody. It's a beautiful evening here in Los Angeles, California, and I'm really enjoying this beautiful day. Still above ground, still sequestering myself in my house. I did venture out for a few things this morning, and I'm right back in, and I'm staying well and healthy, as I hope everybody out there is. And we have an amazing show tonight, and it's about UFOs. And we have an actual UFO person that has seen a flying saucer and has it well documented, and that I want to talk a little bit about what's going on as of right now with the UFO issues. April 27th, bizarrely enough, our Pentagon, that means our National Defense, released three videos from the U.S. Department of Defense and from the Pentagon, believe it or not, three videos of UFOs. So I was watching them today because I wanted to see, you know, if they say it's real, so they actually have caught UFOs on the screen. And if you keep watching, many of us have actually seen stuff like this, so it doesn't really affect us that much. However, I was listening to the last video where it shows the UFO leaving extremely fast off the screen, and then the pilot's talking about that one says, the pilot's saying, well, there's a whole lot of them. In back of the one UFO, there's a whole squadron. He's talking like that. It's quite thrilling. So at this point, I just wanted to let everybody know what's going on in the UFO world. And tonight we have an awesome guest. His name is Dallas Michael Reese. He's a 67-year-old father of three that had an extraordinary experience while driving through the Locust Grove, Georgia, in a 1963 Dodge Polara. I hear it was aquamarine blue. And it was 1973, and he was driving down the highway when he and his family spotted a huge UFO with flashing lights hover over a power station. This sighting began the first of many experiences for Mr. Reese, and we shall share this and many experiences that were to follow us. And he has a technical background in both military and civilian mechanical engineering and drafting. He obtained his degree and worked for a Fortune 500 company. And he is currently semi-retired and following his interests of home designer and installing solar panels for a local company. You know, he's a man of many talents. Mr. Reese is a musician and a drummer in a band and enjoys nature and wildlife and where he lives now in North Carolina. And he's shown some beautiful pictures that I've seen on Facebook. And at this point, I would like to welcome Michael Reese, live on Paranormal and the Sacred. Welcome, Michael. You're live.
Hello. How you doing? How you doing, Jar?
I'm doing pretty good. I have read about your story, and first of all, we're Facebook friends, you know. And then
yeah.
I started looking at your gorgeous pictures of you being on the river and all the wildlife and nature, and then your musical background, and you're a very interesting person, so I really wanted to get you on the show to talk about this experience of yours.
Yes, I'm pleased to be here.
Thank you. So do you want to give us a little background? Because you and your family were driving down a road, you know, and this is in Georgia, right?
Right, yeah. I used to live in Atlanta back during those times.
Yes. And so what were you doing out there?
I was working with the Department of Transportation in Atlanta in the British department. What I did, my my job was to draw up bridges graphically that we got, you know, notes from the engineers, and we would put it on Mylar, ink on Mylar in the bridge department there. And it was a very good job. Yeah, that was back in 73. And if you want me to go into the encounter,
yeah,
or
yeah, I
sure,
want you
okay.
to go to the encounter and just tell us what you saw.
Okay, well, what I saw was, or we saw, was it was a flying saucer. Wasn't a UFO, because it was identified with my eyes and in my wife's eyes at that time and my sister's eyes. And what this craft was doing after we come on it, it sounds kind of crazy, but I jumped out of the car, and I was waving my arms, and before that, I was flashing my lights, waving my arms, and basically, I was like thinking, I want to see who's flying this thing. Was above a
ask you something
power
about
substation.
That, Michael? Can I ask you
Pardon?
Something about that? Why would you do
sure.
that?
Well,
I mean,
I've always been interested in the subject. Prior to that, my dad, he was an avid reader, and he subscribed to Fate magazine in the early 50s or late 50s. And those magazines, I would get them, you know, after he read them, I would read them myself. And most of the ones that I read about were the UFO encounters. And it intrigued me very, very much. And I never thought, you know, what would I do if I ever saw one, you know? And, when it happened, it was just like instinct, just, you know, I want to see what this thing is, to get as much detail as I could. When we, you know, drove upon it, parked my car, got out, waving my arms and stuff. Sounds crazy. You know, in like Travis Walton, when he got out of his truck,
yeah.
you know, and he was walking up. After that, after I heard. Pardon me?
Go ahead. I was just going to say that, too, but I didn't want to bring it up. But you did first.
Yeah. Basically the same thing that Travis Walton did. He got out of the truck, and he was like, I want to see what this thing is. And the same thing hit me. And when I was viewing this thing, it was huge. It was definitely a saucer shape, for sure. It was above this power substation. I would say probably 200 or 300 feet above the station, and I'm just guessing it was probably 150-200 feet in diameter. And the reason I knew it was a saucer was it had these lights going around it, and these lights were very strange. I mean, it was just like, what is this thing? You know, what is this thing? It's crazy. It just totally blew my mind. But these lights were very unusual, and they were three lights, red, green, and blue. And one light would come on, red would come on and go off, and then blue would come on and go off, green would come on and go off, and it would go around the perimeter. So I could tell it was circular, you know, in plan view, you know, just the way the lights were going. So while I was standing there looking at this thing, now this is kind of strange because I didn't know what was going on during that time, but what was so unusual about this, and I'm not sure if this was shock or it was some sort of feel that I was standing in, but it felt to me like this thing is drawing my thoughts out of my head, as if I could not think straight, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
But I was looking at this thing, and I thought, I've got to remember this. I said that in my head at least three or four times. I've got to remember this. got to remember this. And as I was saying that to myself, I was also thinking, this thing is drawing my thoughts away. I've got to remember this. So I likened it to an old-fashioned Christmas tree. Most people back in them days, they'd only have, you know, the big bulbs on the Christmas trees. They were either, or usually our family had red, green, and blue lights, you know, the big bulbs and stuff like that. So that's what I likened it to, the Christmas tree. And I knew it was in November. And the reason I knew that was in November, after this thing left and I got in the car, I thought, okay, what month is this? How can I remember the month? And it was my daughter. She was in the car too. She was only 8 months old. My wife at that time was holding her in the passenger seat. And I thought to myself, it's November, it's 8 months, you know, my daughter's 8 months. That's how confused my mind was. And yeah. again, I don't know if it was just confusion of seeing this thing, that my mind was playing tricks on me or what, but it for sure was definitely a flying saucer.
Wow, amazing. I just wonder, I saw a UFO too, pretty close up. It didn't look like you. It had pink and blue lights, but it was the shape and size of a Volkswagen, but going towards you, and it was a flat gray. No reflection, I couldn't see how it was put together. But we were going south on the Long Beach Freeway, going on the slow lane, and it was going the other direction, straight over our heads, but it was very low, lower than a telephone pole. But what happened is when I saw it, I could feel my brain thinking. And that is very odd to feel that, because you never feel your brain thinking. But I felt so it was really a creepy, crawly feeling.
Yeah.
And I was looking for some place in my brain to fit what I was seeing, and it wasn't there. There was nothing to compare it to. So I remember looking out the passenger window, because my friend was driving, and she saw it first.
Uh-huh.
So I looked out the passenger window, and totally forgot about it. We remembered later only because of a bizarre coincidence. Later, this was in the 80s, so we were asking, what's your sign? You know what I mean? Went to a dance, we're talking to people. And the guy I was talking to happened to have my exact same birthday. And then I looked at my best friend. I said, when's your birthday? He said, July 13th. I said, my birthday's July 13th. Then I looked at my friend, and we're still friends. We've been friends over 40 years. I looked at her. I said, didn't we see a UFO on the way over here? And we both started screaming our heads off. It came back. So you.
That is so funny.
I know. You with your strength, and I think it's your technical background that actually gave you the ability to hang in there. Because if I didn't have that coincidence, I wouldn't have been able to bring up that memory.
That's odd you said that. After the encounter that we had, there were six of us in the car, my sister, her two daughters, my wife at that time, and my wife, she had my oldest daughter in her arms, and driving back, we finally got back onto I-75 north, going back to a town called Forest Park, and I bet we didn't say three words. It was probably another hour's drive, and after that, it was like we never talked about it. We never did. Which is very strange, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there could be some sort of field out there that these things cause that try to take your memory or something like that. I know that sounds far-fetched, but who knows? Who knows?
Well, I've had a lot of strange things, and I've seen things a couple of times. Me and her actually saw two different ones. They were actually there when those Phoenix lights came over. Remember that incident?
Oh yeah, Oh, yeah.
So they were there,
definitely.
Her and her husband, and they both saw it. So they see it a lot more than I have. But we have seen things together. Let's say we saw in my area, there's a lot of strange things going on, very weird anomalies. I won't go into all that. But anyway, so I saw a cylinder-looking cloud, right? And I thought, that's an interesting cloud. And I was on my way to pick her up because we were going to go to lunch. And so I kept watching it. And actually, all the clouds, you know, floated away, right? Except this cloud got kind of stranded out there. And it went the entirely different direction because it got busted. Because this is what I felt like. It knows that I'm watching it. So it took off. But it couldn't go fast because it was covered. It was like cloud. So I actually got her in the car in time for us to both watch that cylinder. Because then it couldn't really keep a cloudy shape. It just was. It looked like a gray cylinder at that point, you know, and we both saw it. But I think they actually have an immediate recognition. You don't have to speak. When you look at them, they already know you're looking at them. They know that they've been seen. And they might do something to us. You know, I've really thought about this. Because each time, if you just looked away just a little bit, you're not going to see it.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, we live in a strange world, don't we?
Yes, we do. So after this sighting, did you guys have any physical or any kind of residue or nightmares or anything?
Didn't have any nightmares, but I do remember driving to work after this happened, and I can't remember how many days or weeks after the encounter that I had this. Driving to work, I got sick. I got sick to my stomach, and my head started hurting. I had to stop the car on the side of the road, the 63 Polara, and I threw up, and I finally made it to work, and they sent me to the infirmary there at the Capitol, near the Capitol, and they told me I had an optical headache, and I'd never had anything like that before. I thought it kind of odd. I don't know if there's any relationship between that incident and the sighting or not, but it was pretty weird, pretty strange. But
that's weird.
Yeah, after that, I don't remember any nightmares or anything. If anything, it made me more intrigued about the subject, you know.
Yeah. So did you become aware of any unusual things happening around you? Because after we saw that, we actually started being aware of all kinds of stuff. We were having dreams at the same time. Other sightings, like it opened up a whole different world to us, really.
So you're saying that you and your friend had pretty much the same kind of dreams?
Yes.
Oh, That's wild. That's very unusual. So there's some sort of connection there between you and your friend, I guess.
Yes.
You know, Jacques Vallée, he's the one that classified all the UFO sightings and encounters, like Close Encounters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he eventually put in paranormal activities in with these, I believe. You probably know more about that than I do. Yeah.
No, you reminded me, yes, that there's these different degrees chat.
Yeah. So in his mind, paranormal activity happens, but there was no paranormal, you know, apparitions or anything like that happened that I know of. Nothing that, you know, that would come to mind anyway.
Where were you working at the time this happened?
It was Department of Transportation in Atlanta, in the bridge department.
Interesting.
That's when I was drawing bridges and and stuff like that. Interesting job. Yeah, I had told my the next day, I think that was a Monday, I told my supervisor what happened, and because he and I were both, you know, interested in science and in astronomy and things like that. And I told him about our encounter, and he looked at me like I had three heads, you know. And even after that, you know, he would give me unusual looks, and I thought to myself, maybe I should never tell anybody about this, you know. But now we're in the age of information, and there's so much information now about the subject, and I think people are becoming more aware of, yes, these things are real. What they are, I do not know. I've never seen an alien. I know there's a heap of people out there that have seen aliens, but I've never had one of those encounters. Thank goodness.
Well, did you see those videos or hear about the videos they released from the Pentagon, the Department of Defense? Did you see any of that?
Yes. Yeah, I haven't done any kind of deep research on those, but yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, it's kind of like a soft disclosure, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, because many of my are probably mutual friends went to the Washington D.C. and trying to go for disclosure and everything else, but I really, when I first watched him, I go, yeah, I saw that. I almost brushed it off. And then I listening to the end, and at the ending, the very ending, which nobody has really reacted to, and I just shocked the heck out of me, is that you can hear pilot talking about the squadron. Did you hear that part?
Yes, I did. I was like, wow. Amazing.
They
amazing.
Released from our government. It's incredible. This is a first in our lifetime, because we're about the same age, and the first recorded in history, it was like the 4th or 5th century. They were theorizing that there's things in existence. They even have read it about in the Bible, especially in Ezekiel, and in medieval times, they drew pictures of icons with little UFOs in the background. It was a lot of strange stuff. But in 1952, they actually have shots of UFOs over Washington, D.C. And
yeah,
that was that was about the first of many. But it's taken our whole entire lifetime for them to give us a little bit of film.
Yeah.
What are they hiding?
Yeah.
It must be from that. If that's, and go ahead.
I don't know why they are hiding it. I can kind of understand that, you know, if they came out and said, yeah, there's aliens, they've been here for eons, you know, how would people react? You know, how would the church react? Maybe it's just a fear of how people would react to it. I think, you know, if it's true, share it, bring it out, you know, tell us what's going on. We don't need to live in deception. But it's odd that now during all this, COVID-19 and everybody pretty much locked in their house and this comes out, you know, who knows what the game plan is.
Now, that's an interesting point. Well, we're all now stuck in the house. Now they say there's stuff out there. That's really odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was kind of blown away today when I saw the videos. I was thinking, because the first part of it was showing the shape of the ship on radar. And that was kind of the shape of what I saw. It's kind of a ovular, but it looked like kind of a really, really blown up toy airplane. You know what I mean? That's what mine looked like. Like if you were to blow up a toy airplane as big as you could, and that's what kind of the shape. So saw on the radar.
So those were not the tic-tac shapes they keep talking about?
No, that's what I'm saying. Then they showed a spot that they kept locking on, like the radar was really showing that how it works. They were locking on the object. And so when finally they were playing the vocals part of it, when the pilot got extremely excited when they locked onto this thing. And it's just like a round white dot, but it looked like it was actually traveling under the ocean. And when I saw that, I went, oh, my goodness, is this true? Then when he's saying that they saw there's one of many out here, you know, I think they just told us a lot there, but people are kind of just shrugging that our government has now disclosed all this. I think because we've been waiting so long. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. Well, that came out, wasn't it, like 2 months ago or so, or two or three months ago?
Well, April 26th.
Yeah.
It's only May 22nd.
Okay, I was thinking it was longer than that.
It was just April 27th.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm curious, because I was kind of floored when I watched the whole thing. But maybe people aren't really looking at it. I mean, there's one thing that you've seen it, but I don't think people are. But it's right there on YouTube. Anybody can watch it. And I got it from a site that's from the Pentagon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Most people now are just worried about, you know, they're struck in fear and their attention is not on these subjects, I guess. But did they say how fast these crafts were going, that craft that the pilot saw?
No, had it on the tracker, and I was trying to see it, you know, because I've had a little bit of eye issues. I was trying to see and read the numbers, but I don't know how to – the numbers are all there. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you're doing statistics and they have the numbers up one side and down the other, and so you could see all the things ticking, which is probably doing the miles per hour, but I don't know what they call – I don't think they say miles per hour. I think they use other language. Uh-huh. So all of it is written there, but it looked pretty fast. One was so fast, it just swooped out of radar. But they got a lock on one. Go ahead.
Seems like I had heard that one of them – there were several, weren't they?
Yeah.
Seems like I heard that they – one of them was like Mach 10 or something like that. That's fast.
How fast is Mach 10?
I'm not sure, but it's got to be fast, for sure.
Yeah, because with a snap of the fingers, it was off the screen.
Yeah.
You know, but this was reported. Do you remember, I bring him up because he's a personal friend, him and his wife now, Captain Robert Salas of the Montana Missile Range. Do you remember what happened then? So
when they shut down all the missile silos, the nuclear warheads.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So you mm-hmm. would know about the expertise of that, but he had to actually, because I questioned him about, you know, how I went. So I looked at where you are. Let's say you're doing the nukes. You're 60 feet underground in like a capsule. You're underground.
Yeah.
And so he's getting phone calls from up above that five little red saucers just came over the perimeter, and they're calling down to him. He can't do anything. And his co-pilot was fast asleep for some reason. He said the guy was just laying on the bed sleeping. And he said, but he turned around looking. I know. He said he turned around looking at the panel, and he said he knew they were going to shut off his nukes, but there's no shut-off button on a nuclear a missile. There is no off button. But they succeeded in shutting not only his nukes off, but all the nukes off. There was about 30 around that part of the country right then. So they were all shut off. So something very powerful is really going on.
Yeah. Yeah, their technology has to be way, way far above ours. That's for sure.
You know, kind
to do
of
something
like
that.
Yeah, it's kind of Well, now they let some of the secrets out, you know, especially with this latest thing. And I just can't hardly believe your courage of doing that. And it, I guess with Travis, it turned out to be like foolhardy, you know.
Yeah,
says he did get
that.
You know? Yeah, I met him several times, and we've all had dinner because I travel in the same circles. But I think with him, it's happened more than that time, but he will not say that. You know what I mean? He won't say it happened again, but I cannot believe it's happened just one time. So did you have any? So did you have any other sightings? Because I don't think it's ever once. I think once you're on their radar.
I had another sighting in Georgia while I was living in here in Western North Carolina. I had to go to Atlanta to pick up some building materials for a project I was doing, and when I was driving back, I had a load of materials on the back of my truck, and I heard this noise. It was kind of like a waning sound. I thought maybe my tire was low or something like that. So I pulled off the side of the road, and this was in a town called Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's about, from where I live now, it's probably maybe 30 miles south. And I pulled off the side of the road and checked all my equipment, my load there, and looked up, and I saw this craft moving very, very slow. And it had two lights on the front end and one light in the rear end, and it was making this humming noise. And it was, I'm thinking, if this is an airplane, I don't see how it's staying up in the air because it was going so slow. And after that, I called MUFON and made a report. I think it was 2011 or so. Can't remember the exact year, but somewhere around in there. But they made a report, and come to find out, there was an air base south of there. So I'm thinking that could have been some sort of aircraft, you know, but it was kind of odd that it was moving so slow that it was staying in the air. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if that was a craft of unknown origin or one of ours, but it did get me hard enough to make a report about it.
What line of questioning did they give you? Do they have a certain form you fill out, or the whole big thing, or?
Yeah, it's a form, and you just basically describe, you know, what happened, and try to estimate the distance above where you were standing, how fast I thought it was going, and it was dark. And I could tell that it was somewhat of a triangular shape, because I could see the stars, you know, in the background. But where this thing was, it was of course darkened out the sky there. So yeah, pretty unusual.
Well, where do you think they come from?
Honestly, If they're a different species from us, I've always thought, probably always been here. Do I think they're from another planet? I don't think so. Could it be dimensional thing? That's possible. I mean, if they're from another planet, why would they choose Earth? You know? Why would they choose here if they're light years away?
Well, do you have a reason why? I think I have a reason why.
Pardon?
This is what me and my friends think, that the Earth is almost the greatest thing going in the universe, that we are very attractive to you know, other worlds because of our unique life here. And we're just vesseling with every form of life imaginable. And that I can't hardly believe that we're unique, but I think we may be unique. That's why they're here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good point there for sure. Yeah.
Because we are, just think of just insects. We just stayed on insect subject of how many different insects there are in the world. We can't count them all. You know, and so dramatic things are happening now. We were both brought up to, this is what's been happening since with the lockdown. This is my thought about this whole thing. We have been told our entire lives, because I know me and you are about the same age.
Yeah.
I mean, we have been told our entire life that we are screwing up this world irreparably. We've used up its resources. We're jacking the whole thing up. Yes.
Yeah.
We stood in the house 2 months, and out pops a bird we haven't seen in 100 years, and they thought it was extinct. Uh-huh. And here comes another form of a cat. They haven't seen that in 100 years. It's only because we're out there, and now all these unusual species are now walking the street, and the earth is renewing itself rapidly. I mean, in a matter of 2 months. The water in Venice is so clean that the dolphins, they can see swimming down the canals. You know, it's pretty marvelous.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. So our Mother Earth will not allow us to destroy it. Let's put it that way.
Well, we're on shutdown right now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that could be very well true, that Mother Nature's like, you're not going to destroy me. We're going to reset this thing, you know.
Exactly.
It could be a new awakening that we're going through.
Yes, I totally agree.
And that would probably be a good thing.
It is a good thing. I see a lot of good happening, and a lot of us, I hope, are changing for the better, that we're now adopting skills that'll get us through, because many people that I speak with that have had these experiences and other experiences, and they're saying that this isn't the only thing that's about to happen. This is just the first phase of something. I don't know what you guys feel about that.
Yeah, That's what it looks like to me. It sure does. Yeah, people being shut in their houses for so long, they're having to get back to their core being of, you know, who they are. I would say, you know, I play a little guitar, and it's like I've been playing the guitar more than I have before. You know, maybe it's a new awakening that people getting back to the basics of who they really supposed to be.
I know that's exactly what I think. I think that we've been given an opportunity to slow way down and reevaluate the gifts we've been given and start using them.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty bad. Go ahead.
I hope that's what it is. You know, we got to think positive about all this stuff that's going on somehow, because you can't just, you know, stay in your home and be depressed. You gotta invent or do things that are constructive. Thank goodness I'm still working myself, installing solar panels and I get to work pretty much. It's part time, but it's keeping me in shape. That's for sure.
That's great. You know, it's great to that's the power in the future, the sun power. You know, we really have to get off of fossil fuels and go on to the solar. I mean, it's so great. and easy and clean that I don't know what the heck is this. I don't get it. When Germany can and Sweden, I think, are off the grid practically, and they're running just on solar power. I don't understand why this big United States, with all of our resources, that we're not on totally solar panels by now.
That's true. Yeah, it needs to happen. You know, and that's another thing that I was thinking about, that these UFOs, flying saucers that are constantly being seen out there, you know, the technology that they have, you know, it could be possible that our governments do know what these things are, and the technology, maybe they do have this technology, but the oil cartels are suppressing this technology, because once we have the ability to create free energy, and these things have to be able to do that to fly.
Yes.
That technology, they're suppressing it. So if this disclosure came about and they said, okay, we have this technology that we can create free energy, we don't have to use fossil fuels no more, we have this technology that we can run your house for free, you know,
yes,
they would definitely be bucking on that stuff for sure. So, and it always boils down to money, I think.
Greed. Yeah, it's I've heard some very wild concepts from people lately, that, you know, there's always been the greed factor. But when this whole thing shut down, it kind of threw everybody off the greed game. All of a sudden, the same stuff doesn't work. Nobody's – well, now people – I was out in traffic today. There was actual traffic out there. And that was the first.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the first day that I saw a lot of cars out there. But everybody is wearing
– yeah, same here.
Yeah, this is Southern California. They are out there. However, I was thinking that it's like a trap. We have to really get onto something else, or we're going to be made to get on something else. Meaning my friends are talking about – somebody mentioned, well, you know, pretty soon there's not going to be any rent. Nobody's having any money to pay it. And I was like, the heck, I got to think about this one. And I started thinking about – in ancient Israel, in Jerusalem, they had something called the Jubilee, and that everybody's debts were wiped out. You know, and I was thinking, that's what we need, really, is a Jubilee of forgiveness. Everybody just get forgiven the debt. Now, what's wrong with that, I ask you?
That's perfect.
Wouldn't
that's
it?
Perfect.
Why not? There's no guilt. Go ahead.
I think they had Jubilee every 40 years, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but
which all the debts were wiped clean.
I think that gives everybody a chance to start out evenly and just, you know, forgive that debt and stop being so greedy. Like there was, I don't know if you, I had the thing I had to post and I was embarrassed, but this guy Vic, who was really ticked off, they call it ticked off, he'd call him Ticked Off Vic. And he was blowing gas. You see? Anyway, he's right. Even though he's frothing at the mouth, spitting and cussing.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
he was right. He said, if you guys just, the rich people just sat on their money and $1 billion, he said, pretty soon you're going to have $40 billion doing nothing. And why don't you put our loans on the backside and give us a break for a few months? And it was just like perfect sense. But we're so wrapped up. He does make sense. but we're so
funny,
wrapped up in guilt, you know what I mean? We're like wrapped up in guilt that we have to produce. You know, we have to get on to a different thing, because I think our guilt is making us hold back, you know, from truly sharing.
Uh-huh.
So nobody goes without. We're scared because
getting
it labeled socialism. But if we look back to the Native Americans, they had it right. They shared, you know, everything they had. The more they called a thing called the potlatch. In the potlatch, you gave as much as you could give. You gave till it hurt, because it was pride, and it was wonderful to give and have a big gift to everybody, you know. And we need to get into that so none of us go without.
That makes sense. It really does. Work as a community, not as individuals. Work as a community. You know.
Well, I think that biblically we're called to love one another and to take care of each other. And people that go so far to saying that that's a socialist or whatever, there's like certain buttons given and labels given to these certain things, such as sharing, that I think is just that hot button to keep us subservient to an old way that's not going to serve us anymore. You know, it's
labels. Yeah, they put labels on things and people make a negative connotation about it. And we have in our minds that, oh, socialism, that's bad. But the thing about it is, you know, why not mix them all together and say, okay, this is the way it needs to be done. But, goes back to love your neighbor, you know. Who knows? We may be all having to work with our neighbors to grow gardens or whatever.
Well, that's
that
the way it used
thing.
To be. Yeah, before we had this is what my friends also say, because I have friends that have these incredible theories, and everybody's sharing it right now. They're saying that we're going to go back on the gold standard, that money won't mean anything anymore, and that we will have to learn how to barter and help each other, because, you know, all that monetary system will cease to exist.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going that way. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
bartering is probably going to be coming.
Coming from a lot of experiencers. So what you're saying is actually what a lot of experiencers are saying, including myself and a lot of people I know. We're all kind of going this way anyway. Like when this happened, almost all of us were already prepared. We started actually getting, because, you know, we called them the preppers. So we were actually keeping, I'm like always been a big one for supplies. You know, I don't know if it's because I had a very poverty stricken childhood probably, but whatever it is, I always kept stuff in, you know, but I've always had supplies. I always have gloves. I just didn't have the mask, but I have bandanas. So I was already like prepared. So a lot of us just kind of slipped right into this thing.
Yeah, I remember when this first started out. I think it was December the 31st, and I can't remember when the videos came about from China. But once I saw that, something in my gut said, "Uh-oh." So I ordered masks. I went and bought some toilet paper.
That's right.
Yeah.
I told you, all of us did it. But a lot of people, I felt bad for them because they were kind of stumbling around, and they're still kind of in shock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just like in a daze, for sure.
Yeah, it is. You're picking up what I'm picking on. They're only in a daze, and they're scared. And some are acting crazy.
Yeah, I go to the grocery store, I'll do the social distancing, but I don't do the mask. I just don't feel it's necessary. I'll go in there and I watch people, you know, how they act. If I'm going down the aisle and it has the arrow going the other way, they'll probably look at me like, "You're going the wrong way." You know, it's kind of like, this is ridiculous. It's crazy.
Well, in California,
really,
we have to wear masks, but we're getting stylish around here. So we're in masks, but everybody's got bling bling on their mask. It's pretty funny, but I'm used to it already. You know what it did for me is that it made me feel like, well, I don't give a damn what people think. I'm going to go about my business. I don't want to get sick because, you know, our beautiful friends in New York are quite sick, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty horrible.
It's definitely taking lives, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the numbers are being skewed somehow. Is it fear-based? It probably is, some of it, because if you really look at the numbers, you got to say to yourself, okay, this is not as bad as last year's flu. But there's so much disinformation out there, you know, it's like, okay, who do I believe? It's crazy.
Well, I went on a scouting expedition of one person, one woman out there. I drove over to the local hospital, my favorite hospital. You know, there's tents outside. I've never seen tents in the emergency room before. So there are actually people that they think have the coronavirus. I think they're testing them in those tents, and then they go into the hospital. It's, you know, we just lost one person. He was with 11 presidents, serving as the butler for 11 presidents and the doorman. And he was taken out by the coronavirus, you know, and it was really hurt, you know. This gentleman has been through it all, and then he dies from the coronavirus, you know. It's kind of a wake up call.
It's definitely scary.
It's scary. I don't want it. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't want to get it. Yeah. If it just takes me, mask and gloves, and but you know, I'm on the side. I do hair, so I've always had gloves and apron on anyway. It does no big to wear a mask too. You know what I mean? That's why people say, "Where'd you get the gloves?" I said, "I've always had gloves. I always have sanitation equipment, so it's like I've been ready. All the hairdressers of the world have been ready this whole time. You know what I mean? So it's time to just keep. I think, the love that has going to have to really.
The main thing is not get into fear, and be wise. Try to be wise about, you know, just use your gut. Things probably will not go back to the way they were. If it does, it might take a while. But just be wise about it all.
Yeah.
We don't know where this is going to go.
Plus, we actually, you know, this we had discussed this. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So we had discussed this last week that somehow me and another friend, Jackie, we had been, I don't know, I didn't take this stuff in school. I was interested in science, but I don't have a mathematic brain. I'm on the writing side of things, the art and the writing, but mathematics, no. But we're over there looking up, just how does this virus work? How old is this virus? You know what I mean? When we went through the HIV scare. I realized I was actually taking classes, and I remember everybody talking about HIV, and I finally piped up and I said, "You don't know who's going to get it. You know, it isn't just a gay disease." I said, was saying this before it came out. I said, "Listen, anybody can get it. You get a transfusion or whatever else, you're going to get it. It's no fault of yours." You know what I mean? And then we find out, it goes all the way back to the dinosaurs, the certain HIV, and the cats get it, the CIV, and that now we have a cure for it, thank God. You know what I mean? We do have medications that people, their viral loads are like zero, thank God. You know what I mean? But I feel like it's taken course with this new virus. I think that they say it's unique. But, however, it gave me that feeling that it has the same action as AIDS, because it actually takes over the body in the same way. And they said, yes, it's a viral protein that is destroying poor people's blood vessels and everything. That's why, you know, people are passing away, you know.
Yeah.
Because their body fails.
Yeah, the key is boost your immune system and as much as you can. Get exercise, just stay as healthy as you can. It's harder for me to stay healthy these days because I'm older, you know, but I try. That's all we can do.
Yeah,
we
can be the best us that we are right now. That's the whole point. Is just do the best you can and be the best you. And all of us just because I have other people that are saying that they're even going to have our health and youth returned. You know, this is really going to be a real renewal eventually. which I don't know. I'm trying to keep optimistic. Like there's, you know, there's a big drastic change. Yeah, it's a big drastic change. It's gonna hurt, but it's not gonna kill. It's gonna be, you know, for those who survive this part, you know, eventually it'll be a new earth and a pristine new world, you know, of the one that it talks about in the Bible is what I'm referring to. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw, you know, after this started that in China, you know, the pollution level decreased like almost to nil, you know. I'm thinking,
incredible.
Wow, something good's coming out of it.
What a good point. Yeah, we couldn't even see the people in China because there was so much pollution. And then all of a sudden it's gone. I'm telling you that Mother Earth will renew herself. And this is all we need to do is stay in the house, and it's all being asked of us. You know, it's just kind of remarkable. Now, I have another thing to ask you. So it's still staying on the UFO topic. But I have heard, I've not done it myself because the last thing I want is contact with an alien or UFO, really. All my stuff is my will, and I say no, but they don't seem to care. But how about these people that are trying to contact or say they want to have a UFO experience or they want to meet an alien? What about that? What's your opinion on this?
People that have never seen one want to have this experience. I don't know. That's kind of like me wanting to say, you know, I'd like to see Bigfoot or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Dogman or something like that.
I don't want to see him, but I believe in Mothman. That's the only cryptoid I believe in is Mothman.
Ah, okay. I've been listening to some YouTube on this is crazy on Dogman. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
There's so many witnesses out there on that creature that I like, what? This is nuts.
Well, the expert on this is Linda Godfrey, as far as I'm concerned. She's written many books, and she talks about the Dogman, Wolfman, and she's an artist too. So a lot of her drawings she's done herself.
Yeah.
So I actually interviewed her a few years ago, and we were talking about. I had a bizarre incident. Now I hope you don't like me any less from saying what I'm about to say. But I had a very extremely bizarre. Her explanation for it was something else. So it just happened a week before this interview. So it was on my mind, and I was in shock. But I was sound asleep, and my dog woke me up, and she was sitting at the end of the bed in high alert. You know how a dog will sit there looking at something, and she spotted something in the hallway. So I remember turning over. I'm doing it right now. I looked down the hallway to follow her gaze, and what was sort of standing there was a huge, humongous, long-haired black wolf. Huge.
Whoa.
Took up the whole hallway. I looked at it, and when I looked at it, it looked at her. And it looked at her like, you woke her up. It was so intelligent in the eyes, I could read its mind. It said, you woke her up. And I was so petrified with terror, I grabbed her, and guess what I did? I hid under the covers. What do you do when you smack a werewolf or whatever? I put the covers over my head, and we went sound asleep for 2 solid hours. She was still in my arms when I woke up, and I said this to Linda. I know. I swear to God, and I would never say a thing like that or swear to you this is a true story. So I had to, I think it was the synchronicity of it. So I brought it up to Linda. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you this, blah, blah. She said, oh, I've heard that before. I said, what do you mean? She said, I've had people doing their dishes and they see a big wolf walk by on its hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you think this is? She said, what you said, they think it's interdimensional, that they pop in and out from another dimension. So some of these sightings could be not just. No, we have discovered other dimensions.
Yeah.
That they
I
are
think that's
real.
Very well, I think that's very well possible. The way I see it, if it's dimensional kind of thing, I think of like, you know, as a kid we used to blow those bubbles and stuff out in the air.
Yeah.
through the rings and stuff like that. It's like these dimensions every now and then touch each other. And when that happens, they relate, they kind of interact on one level to another. And when you saw that, you knew it was a physical thing.
Yes.
It wasn't an apparition, right?
Well, my dog saw it first. So
yeah.
But the key is that the dog was frozen in place.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw, it was aware that she's the one who woke me up. And it looked very
wow.
intelligent. Look on its face like, you woke her up, you know, kid.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I could do was grab it. Grab my dog. And it disappeared.
That's amazing.
I know. It's not the only thing either. Lots of stuff like that. You know, it's just I'm realizing that there's more here that meets the eye.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I think some people are more gifted or more tuned to that kind of stuff than others. I've never seen anything like that. That's the flying saucer was the only thing that I have ever seen that was just totally blew me away, you know. I've never seen any kind of cryptids or any kind of ghosts or any kind of things like that.
Okay, 120 feet. If it's that big and it had that lights and everything else, did you hear anything? Did it make a sound?
No, it was totally quiet. Totally quiet.
Yeah, me too.
The only thing that I saw was the lights and a glimmer of the craft itself. But the lights were the most dramatic thing that was, you know, just burned into my brain that was so unusual. And the thought that this thing is taking my thoughts, it's draining my brain,
yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Well, what it was is that when it had the same effect on me and my friend, it was a total shock to my brain.
And that could have been what was going on with me, you know, the shock.
Yeah.
The shock factor was taking over, you know, and I wasn't thinking straight, you know, but I knew what I was seeing.
Well, you're very rational and you have that mathematic background. I'm sure I think that's probably why you would actually walk up to a thing like that, because to me, I physically was frozen. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I was driving, thank God, but I mm-hmm. took everything I could to turn my head away, and
uh-huh.
then I forgot about it, but I was frozen in complete shock, you know? And
I think the mind...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the mind goes into a mode where, you know, if you can't figure it out, you know, you try to just put it off to the side where... Because if you think about it too much, it kind of hurts the mind, you know.
Well, you've got to protect
yourself. Yeah, that's what it does.
It's like self.
And that's why we driving back to the home, you know, that night, you know, none of us hardly said anything. I mean, it was just like shock. But
I'll
remember it from.
Have you talked
Pardon me?
About it since? Have you guys talked about it since?
Me and my sister will every now and then talk about it, and my ex-wife, we'll talk about it every now and then. And what they saw was totally different from what I saw.
Okay, tell me about that.
Okay, they said it was just like a white light, and it took off into the – just went straight up. I'm like, what? No, that's not what I saw. So I'm thinking, why would they see something different from what I saw? You know?
Wow.
What would that be? Yeah.
That's quite surprising.
Yeah. It's strange, huh? I mean, we all saw it. We definitely saw it. It was there. It was a physical nuts and bolts thing. And, yeah, it's bizarre. But it happened.
I totally believe you. That's why I had to talk to you about it, because we need people that are just come out and say, yes, I saw this. It wasn't that long ago that we were afraid that we were going to be picked up by the military police if we said anything like this. You know, and I'm really, I know, I'm really tired of that point, because we have to. I had to put it all these stuff. I had like a few different boxes that I lived in: my professional life, and then I have my spiritual life, and then I have my alien life, and then I have my paranormal life. It was like everything I had to operate in a box. I've never been able to just be myself, and to actually more now than ever. You know, but I'm kind of stepping away from the federal world. You know, I'm just right now. I'm retiring now. I haven't officially quit, but I've been a forensic therapist for the last 15 years, and then a counselor before that. But I think it's really there's some point where you can't be afraid just to say, yes, I saw this, or. You know, but now that the Pentagon has come out and said, yes, they saw this, maybe it'll be, but everybody's strangely quiet about it. But to me, I haven't seen a big to-do about it. They said it. They released the video. I watched the video.
Yeah,
I watched the whole thing today, though. So it's quite surprising, the whole thing. I did get kind of shocked by it. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that in its entirety for sure.
Yes, watch it. I'm asking you and everybody else, watch it at total to the end, because that's when the good stuff comes. When they're very excited, like we would be. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
This must have happened millions of times. This is just one little tiny piece of tape. But but their excitement and of catching it and of tracking it, and that's just like we would be, and just like. We have a sighting. You had witnesses. I was with witnesses. We know we saw something. We've been talking about it ever since. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's 40 years, 50 years, 60 years ago. Who cares? We're still talking about it like it was yesterday. And these guys are whooping up about what they saw. And I don't blame them, but yet everybody's still kind of shut. I think we've been conditioned not to respond or to not see that. You know, yes, this is a new world we're entering in with new knowledge. And I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think more secrets are revealed, the better for all of us. That's what I think.
Yeah, the truth needs to come out, you know. Let the chips fall where they may. You know, the truth, you know, will definitely set you free. And it'll set the world free. You know, truth needs to be just unfolded and everybody look at it. But you're right. People, when they, I've seen people share that video, you know, and there might be three comments, but
that's
you think,
what I mean. Nobody, I was like, what the heck?
How come there's not like hundreds of comments on this?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that we have been conditioned to something weird is going on, because I was quite floored today. Because we're on this topic, but I really went, okay, let me look and see this whole thing. And when we end the show, you're going to be able to watch it, and you're going to be probably as shocked as I am. You know, nobody's responding. I don't think people are listening to it all the way through, but you have actual pilots that you know they're very intelligent. You can just hear in their voice, and they are actually on fire because they saw this stuff. You know, excited, you know, and actually to see the radar lock onto it and be able to follow it is kind of incredible, you know.
Oh, yes,
it definitely is. Yeah, I think they're allowing themselves to be seen. That's what I think.
Why would they have lights if they didn't want us to see them?
I know it's there. I think it's some of everything. I think it's off-world things. I think it's other dimensional things, you know, and I think it's there's other life forms. There's all kinds of things going on. But would you remember the surface of the ship itself? Was it a color? Did you see? Did it look like material to you? What did it look like?
You know, when they were showing that thing, it was so far away, I guess you'd call it. Like you said, it looked like a toy airplane.
Yes.
I wish they would take it and zoom in on it somehow. I'm surely they can do that.
I think they have. You know, I think they have. That's a matter of time. Yeah, I think this is what they released. It looks kind of shady. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure because they zoomed in a couple times and I said, I bet they have full color pictures of this stuff. And it's just going to be so shocking to get a picture of this, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be seeing more of this stuff coming out, you know?
Yeah.
There could be a plan for them to do disclose this slowly but surely. Keep everybody in their house so they won't freak out when it comes about or something. Who knows? You know,
Those comics, they'll be parked in the front yard, but tell me get out there, all of a sudden, oh yeah, you're here, okay. It'll
but
be like
them,
old hat.
Some of them's got to be good guys because they shut down all these nuclear weapons, you know. Some of them's got to be good.
That's a good point because I think they would have taken us out a long time ago if that was their intention. I think that we've run up against things and accidents have happened. And, you know, we've become a threat to ourselves when they're trying to control they're saying the weather, they're trying to control, you know, our resources. I think the powers that be just about had it, you know. And I think this is also thrown a wrench into a lot of the evil stuff that has been going on in the world. You know, the power and the control. When everybody shut down in the house, you really lost your power over everybody. And that was just that simple. Just put us on timeout, and the evil doers will be confused for a while.
Yeah, they will be.
I know. So we just got to, you know, who knows what's the next thing. But I'm glad about, is that all of us have each other. We aren't hiding information. We're trying to talk about this in an intelligent manner. And we're trying to tell the truth. Everybody's saying, I saw this. Okay, I experienced this. Okay, if we just talk about it, you know, so that people, because I'm sure, you know, I think about the young people coming up. That they're in a whole different world now. The ones that are, they don't realize. I try to talk to my kids about this because my kids are all adults now. But I told them, I said, you know, before the Kennedy assassinations and stuff like that, this is a different world. I don't think you guys realize it. You know, that before that, we believed in something. I said, we really, if whoever got elected, we all loved him. You know what I mean? We didn't even like him. But you had to love him because he's our president now and all that. But now everything's so, all that stuff's gone. I said, the world wasn't like this before. Before we threw in together, even if we were mad at each other, we still said, okay, he's ours, let's take care of it. And it's not like that anymore. It's gotten so out of hand. That, I know, it's so weird. I said, you know, this thing's happening. And then this pandemic is, you know, for the worst. You're saying it's the worst financially since the Great Depression and stuff like that. We haven't experienced this lifetime. These were all firsts for us, you know.
Oh, yes, it definitely is. Yeah, definitely like a reset.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to say it. And it's really good because I see a healing happen, and I know that things will probably get crazier at some point. I don't know, but I hope not, but we just all have to think on our feet. And I hear dire warnings, but not that's not what my feeling is. My feeling is it might get even weirder, but we're just going to have to be that much more kind and loving and spiritual to get us past this.
Yeah.
Because it's a small thing. Like taking up your arms, what is that doing? Nothing.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yep.
Taking arms against what? You know, this is very people are thinking totally different. I think this is a spiritual battle. And we all got to fight the good fight. Okay. We all have to fight the good fight.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
yeah. What we maybe this reset is like, you know, we all need to be walking in love now.
That's the
Hopefully
point.
That's it.
Love and actually express our natural gifts. Because I see so many, I saw you do it, the musicians, you know, the nature lovers, artists, everybody's like blooming. I got all kinds of art supplies. I'm almost ready to make my move. So it's been a long time, you know, since I ever
get those brushes out.
I have them. I'm just waiting on my easel, and then I'm going to start, because it's kind of remarkable, you know, that we're all we're asked to do is take care of each other, take care of ourselves, spiritual, try to do your best to eat right and think right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And trying to walk, they used to have a saying that used to irritate me, but now I believe it, is it walk gentle upon the earth. I think that was Desiderata.
Yeah.
And it used to irritate me, but I don't feel irritated by it anymore. And I say, walk gentle upon the earth, you know, and let's try to help each other. So I don't think there's a coincidence that you're into solar power now. I think you're going to be one of the ones on the front field, you know, trying to keep us going energy-wise. You know, there's a reason you've been trained as you are, because you're one of the chosen ones that are actually going forth in your own way and helping.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to go forward, that's for sure.
I know, and I want to commend you on that. Yeah, good job, you know, because a lot of us don't know how to do that.
Thank you. We all have the ability.
We have a
lot
of ability.
We all have that ability. Yeah.
I'm not going to be putting solar panels up anywhere anytime soon. I can't do it. I can't. So, anyway. Want to have a shout-out to anybody? But do you want to say hi to?
Just hello world.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got some friends that, you know, some people I have told my encounter about, and they've also had paranormal encounters. And if they're interested in being on your show, I'll give them your contact information.
Well, yeah. Let me know.
Yeah. I will do that.
This is a never-ending, interesting topic. I mean, really, this is nothing could be more interesting than that there's more here than meets the eye. And I appreciate you being our guest tonight. I know it's a lot later there than it is here, because here it's real early. It's just after 7. But I know it's later over there. But I want to thank you so much for your extremely interesting talk, and you're welcome aboard anytime, and I want to thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
You're very welcome, and you know, it takes a little bit of courage to do this kind of thing, because you actually are telling
nervous.
The thing.
I was a wee bit nervous, but it's okay.
And no, it's just we just have to just put it out there, but we really appreciate you, and thank you for everything in your share, and God bless you and yours, and I want to thank you so much. And stay well, okay?
Well, God, be well yourself, and God bless you too.
Okay, thank you, and I wish you a good night, okay?
Okay, good night to you.
Okay. See you on Facebook.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, take care, bye-bye. Well, my guests from around the world, I really, really appreciate you listening in for another show. And you can reach Dallas Michael Reese. He's on Facebook if he feels like talking about this stuff. So you can reach him that way. And I want to thank him for putting up the good fight and all the stuff that we're doing. We're trying to get the word out there. And, you know, our favorite saying has been, let the unheard be heard. And so we're into talking about it. So just contact me if you want to talk. I can put you on my show in the future. So next week we have the celebrity nightmare decoder herself, Lauren Lawrence. What an awesome woman. She's written about 7 books. She's a columnist for the News Today, and she actually worked for the George magazine and is actually living there in New York, surviving this coronavirus, and she's doing quite well. And she lives right down there in the middle of New York where all this stuff is happening. So Lauren Lawrence is going to be with us next week at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I look forward to seeing you, and may God bless you. And I hope to see you again real soon. You guys take care of yourself, and have a good week in between time. I do have a Bible study. We're going into Jude on Sunday, so I'll be reading Jude, and after that, I'm kind of shocked, but we made it all the way from the barely beginning of the New Testament all the way to the Revelation, so we'll be working on that on Sunday. So I'll see you next week, same time, same station. Take care of yourself. God bless you all. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye.